buddy. I just wanted to say something from the start. I don't know whether it's a phenomenon or not, but I'm old enough to be half of your granddads. But I don't know, but back in the day when I was younger, we only had one cool person per youth group. That's all we could afford, and I grew up in a really poor area, only had half a family. I know it's tough, it was rugged. Went to school, didn't do well at school because I couldn't afford to pay attention. So here we are, but hands up if you're sitting next to somebody cool today. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to do a little test in a minute about this whole cool thing, but I wanted to tell you, is there any guys in the house in grade 10? Grade 10 or grade 9? Grade 9, grade 10, yeah. All right. I gotta share this with you. So I went to a school, it was a Christian school, it's because I was kicked out of 3 public high schools and asked not to come back. I got kicked out of a Catholic school because I got confirmed. Any old Catholics in the house get confirmed? And you can eat the body of Jesus, right? They had these little wafer biscuits, and I remember eating it, and I went, damn, that is so nice. So I broke into the what they call the vestry and stole an entire box and ate the whole lot. So it was like I ate Jesus's leg. And they kicked me out of school. I would have thought they would have been more happy with me for wanting so much of Jesus, but they didn't. Anyway, in my school, in my class, there was 3 boys and 22 girls. I got to share something with you. I like the ladies. I love my class. And it was pretty cool. But there was one girl that I thought was so hot, and her name was Debbie. Do we have a hot Debbie in the house? You know, yeah. Like is a hot Debbie. So I thought Debbie was really hot, and I used to just try everything to go out with Debbie and to try to impress Debbie. And she would just bow me off all the time, and I was like, damn, you know, how can I win this girl of my dreams? And I never did. It's a very sad story. I never went out with Debbie. We never got together. And I went to a reunion 10 years later. And who's heard of the ugly tree? You know, some people fall out of the ugly tree. Well, I don't know what happened to her, but Debbie hit every branch on the way down. So she started out as hot, but in the end, she was not. So there you go. It's like this world is divided into 2 camps. Those that are in and those that are out. You know, it's like when you're in school and you're going to pick for teams, you either are going to be one of those people who you know are going to get picked, or guess what you do? You don't even line up because you don't want to be out. There are those people who are hot and those who are not. And tonight we're going to talk about being hot or not, but I want to do some tests because, you know, I'm getting old and I need some help with this. So I just want you to react. I'm going to say a name. And you're going to yell out if they're hot or not. You can yell if they're hot, you're going to go, yeah, oh baby, whatever you want. If they're not hot, you're going to go, boo, whatever, all right? So you've got to be, got to give me, here's some names, you ready? Hot or not, Taylor Swift. Boy George. Thurston. Billy Slater. Because the world doesn't like hot. Hot's hard to control. Hot doesn't fit in, hot doesn't conform. Hot can't be manipulated, and hot is not politically correct. Someone who's hot, somebody like Israel Folau.
Yeah!
He's hot. He's hot right now. He's too hot for people to handle. God says this about cool. He said, I'd prefer you to be hot or cold, but because you're cool, you make me sick. Cool is one step away, one letter away from fool. Oh. See, it's like we're trying so hard to fit in when God wants us to stand out. But God never said to us that we're just supposed to blend in and be like everybody else. It's like some people are undercover Christians. Have you ever met them? Undercover Christians? People like Secret Steve. Stealthy Stacy. They go to school and they just blend in. And they could be at school for years and you never even knew that they're a Christian. And then you saw them out at a youth group once, you go, man, you're a Christian. Go, shh, shh, shh. I'm undercover. We're praying for people secretly. Man, you're under deep cover. Heck, God didn't call us to come undercover. He told us to shine like a bright light. But we're so hard trying to fit in. Someone once wrote this. He said, my friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, you walk with me day by day, but never did you point the way. It's a difference between those who boldly believe and those who barely believe. A guy called William Barclay said this, there's never been a time when it's been more difficult to be a Christian, but there's never been a time when it's been more necessary. This isn't about standing out the most. It's about being the most outstanding. Often people don't even realize the potential right before their very eyes. In the Bible, we read a story of a guy called David who became king. David was a freak, man. At 16 years of age, he was an incredible musician. He wrote all these beautiful love songs to God and killed people. I mean, this guy was so cool. He killed a giant that was nearly twice his size. He cut the head off the giant. He carried the head around in his backpack for a couple of weeks. What's that smell? That's David. What's he got the head there? He's trying to show people how to get ahead in life. I want to head off all the jokes. I just want to keep the message headed in the right direction. Okay, there's no point in that. Could you imagine being one of David's brothers? I mean, he was a musical genius, and he like killed lions and bears and giants. He wiped out over 1,000 Philistines, like this other group of guys that lived down near Anala, and you know, just killed them all. And if you were one of his brothers, what have you done? I went to high school. It's really good at the cup game. They had no idea what was going on in David's life, and they were off at war. You know, all the brothers were down at the war. They had their I'm at the war t-shirts on. My I'm at the war t-shirt. And nobody was fighting. And his dad sends David down to find out what's going on at the war, and he brings him some cheese and biscuits. Cheese and biscuits, boys! They go, oh, I love cheese and biscuits. And out comes Goliath, and he's this big giant. Everybody runs away, and David's like, what the heck is that? And he, in that moment, he saw that this was an opportunity, that God had given him an opportunity. And so he decided, was he going to be barely a believer, or was he going to be boldly a believer? Is this the time to be cool and talk about somebody needs to do something? Yeah, man, you Christian children did something. But David stands up and he goes, I'm going to be hot. Well, the brothers said, we're not. And the reality is this. They mathematically calculated the chance of David killing Goliath. This is true. They mathematically calculated it out. It is 0.0023 of a percent that Goliath would trip over and stab himself to death with his own sword. That was the only chance of David winning. Because people always are trying to compare and analyze and categorize and plagiarize and polarize you into a position. But the reality is God sees something great in you. And what other people see as a problem, that if you're hot for God, you'll see as an opportunity. Oh, Goliath is so freaking huge, man. How could I ever beat somebody that big? But David said, how could I ever miss that guy's melon? I just have to shoot in the general direction that's going to hit him in his gigantic head.
Head.
Another guy called Jonah was sent by God to go speak to a place called Nineveh and tell him about Jesus. And he's freaking out. He's going, I'm not going to Nineveh. So he gets on a boat and he goes the exact opposite direction. And on the boat, there's a massive storm and people are freaking out. They're thinking they're going to die. And Jonah realizes that it's his fault and that when he was supposed to be hot for God, he wasn't. And so he said, throw me into the sea and you'll be okay. And they're like, oh, man, we can't just throw you in the sea. But people are starting to freak out. And then, you know, two ladies on the boat says, throw him in the sea, throw him in the sea. I never liked him anyway. And so they threw Jonah in the sea and the big fish came along, or the whale or the shark or whatever it was, jaws. And it ate Jonah whole. And who knows, Jonah in that moment was swallowed by a big problem. I mean, that was a big problem, right? He's inside the belly of a whale. Now, think about this, right? He went in through the mouth into the belly of the whale. He was in a big problem. You ever found yourself in a big problem? And you know what? You know what I realized when I think about the story of Jonah? There was only two ways out of that problem. There was that way, or that way. He could come out the way he came in, or he could come out the other way. When you get swallowed up by a problem, whatever that problem is, you'll always find there's two ways out of that problem. You can either come out better, or you'll come out bitter. You either coming out hot, or you're coming out not. And the reality is, no matter what the situation that you find yourself in, it's in those moments that you stand up. I used to like watching Johnny Depp and the Pirates of the Caribbean. And he was saying, you know, how about the moments to stand up and rise? He says, I like to stand up and watch those moments go by instead of rising to it. Not me. I remember when I was in school and we had some bullies in our school. Got some bullies in your school? Yeah. This was back in the day when we were allowed to sort some things out. We're allowed to sort some things out in the playground. You're not allowed to sort things out in the playground anymore. And there was a few bullies and they'd always pick on these, you know, these younger guys that they just weren't as strong and tough and about that. And I said, have you noticed that they always do it? Like they'll do two or three of the bigger dudes on one. And so I got these guys together, and I wasn't a really good fighter, but I could really cop a beating. And so that was kind of cool. And so I said, you know, what we've got to do is we've got to get together. If one guy's ever getting picked on, I said, every one of you guys come around and come to his attention. And one time I remember we just began to do this, and I taught them some things about how to defend themselves and protect themselves. And I'll never forget, they would try to isolate it and they'd try to put it on. And word had spread, I didn't know this, but word had spread in our playground network. And we had probably about 70 of these kind of nerdy guys that were just, I just kind of felt like I'd help them look after themselves. And there's these three or four bullies. And next minute, it's on, I'm right on the other side of the playground, you know, doing something, probably chatting up Debbie, trying to get her to go out with me. And anyway, next thing I look across, and there is like 40 people beating up the bullies. And I was like, and there's like the weediest guy, his name was Martin. His name was Martin. Martin had little man syndrome. You know, the smaller they are, the bigger the mouth. And one time Martin was in my class, and we were doing, wood shop stuff, and we were making pencil cases out of a block of timber. I made this pencil case, and his was crap. And so, like a good friend, I said, mine is great, yours is crap. And he said to me, well, he says, I'm going to nail yours to the desk. And I said, if you nail mine to the desk, I'm going to throw you out that window into the creek behind this two-story building. And so next minute, I get caught up doing, I turn around, and he's nailed my pencil case to the desk. I was like, what the frick? So I grabbed Martin, and then this was like a movie scene, a slow motion. I remember grabbing him, and I'm tossing him out the window, and I've kind of got this beautiful motion like this, as Mr. Francis, our teacher, who was from the pit of hell himself, Satan's brother, in fact, is walking through the door, Martin squealing like a girl, no! And I'm going, goodbye! And then I see him go, Mr. Brewer! And I go, I'm going to die! I wanted to jump out the window with Martin. Mr. Francis didn't take kindly to the whole exercise, and he lost himself in that moment and grabbed the nearest thing that he could, which was a piece of 2x4. He then proceeded to chase me around the school grounds until the principal comes out, because I'm going, he's trying to kill me! And he calls him over. It wasn't Mr. Francis, by the way, it was Mr. Simpson. But Mr. Brewer, come here now! I was like, thank you, God. Thank you, sir. You saved my life. And he's like, I'll deal with you later. Go sit down there. And I was like, just my usual spot. Okay. But the reality was, so many times in our lives, we get ourselves into these positions, don't we? Where we're either going to be hot or not. Either going to stand up for what you believe in or not. Don't try to be so cool. Just be who God made you to be. Don't try to be so contemporary, so, you know, fitting in with what the media tries to tell you to do. When you conform to this world, you can never change it. As long as I'd spent all my energy trying to just impress my friends, trying to be one of the crowd. Do you know what happens when you just try to be one of the crowd? Guess what you are? Just one of the crowd. I never forget going down to Brisbane. We used to go out and do some work on the streets. And there was a bunch of skinheads, and their whole thing, the skinheads and the punks, was to stand out. They want to be so different. So they'd all shave their head, now it's cool. Shave their heads, put the Doc Martens on, and the skinny jeans, and the pointy belts, and they'd walk around, and they all looked exactly the same. So in their quest to be so different, they were exactly the same as everybody else. And yet, inside of there, was some incredibly talented people. I'll never forget one guy that I caught up with, and he made a decision for Jesus. Man, he had one of the most amazing voices I'd ever heard. Another young guy had dropped out of school in grade 8, was living on the streets, but he was the most amazing artist you'd ever seen. He could draw anything, just freehand with like a bit of chalk on a sidewalk or a book or anything like that. He was just an incredible artist. Romans in the Bible, book of chapter 12, verse 2 says this: don't allow this world to mold you to its own image. Instead, be transformed from the inside out by renewing your mind, changing the way that you think. And as a result, you'll be able to discern what God's will and whatever God finds good, pleasing, and complete. God wants you to be ruined for what the world calls normal. How could you? And see, sometimes you look at that and you go, but how could God ever use me? Because I'm just so not hot. I'm just so not cool. I'm just so ordinary. I'm just so blah. I'm just beige. I'll never forget, we were down the Gold Coast, and I was leading a youth group down there. And this youth ministry was so cool, I felt embarrassed to go to it because I felt I was bringing it down. I'm so sorry, I'm not as good looking and I'm ugly and I'm so sorry. And we went out, we took these guys on a missions trip to Thailand. Anybody been to Thailand? Went all the way across to Thailand. We had some incredible singers. We had some dancers. We had these guys put a whole production together. And we're going to Thailand. One of the schools that we went to had over 6,000 students in the school. The school was so big, it had its own train station in the middle of the school grounds. That's how massive it was. And so we're doing this whole thing, and I'm feeling like the awkward one, like the old weird person on the trip, because everybody was so cool, they were so polished, they were so organized. And we got to a place which is up north called Chiang Rai, which is higher than Chiang Mai. And I remember We're about to start the show, and they pile out this whole school into this massive gymnasium, and they're all kind of sitting out, and everything's ready to go, and the power goes out to the village. So that's it. The power is going out to the whole village. And I go, how long does this last? And he goes, oh, no problem, no problem. 1-2 hours. What? We can't. What are we going to do for 1 or 2 hours? And I said, we can't do the show. Everything is on electricity. He goes, oh. What? Oh. So, like the great man of God that I was, I freaked out. No, I didn't. I prayed. And I was like, God, we came up here to make a difference. We came up here to show them Jesus. And we had all our lights and we had our band and we had everything was cool. And it was all so freaking organized, Lord. And now we got nothing. We didn't know what to do. And I just want to go home and I need my mommy. And God said, shut up and pull yourself together. Are you hot or you're not? And I barely even remember it. But I went over and I grabbed an acoustic guitar. And I put it over my head. Walked out right into the middle of the gymnasium. Just all hundreds of these people. And I was like, what the heck am I going to play? Because we're in Thailand. They don't listen to the top 40 of Australia. I'm like, oh man. And I am praying out to God. Because this is the moment. They're all just looking at me. And I'm thinking, they're thinking, what is this bald old guy doing? And I strummed the chord F. F. F for fun. F for fulfilled. F for faith. F for freaking out. Strung F. And I found myself singing, send someone to love me. I need to rest in arms.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember that song? Yeah. Right. I'm trying to be a better man. I'm trying to be a better man. And in the middle of that auditorium with that one song, they erupted like as a rock star. And I'm like, hey. Nobody could hear me there. I played out that song and then I shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We had nothing. We had no power. We had nothing else. And every one of my team members went all around the outside and they just began to pray. And then we just began to move in as God showed up and people's lives were changed. Because in that moment, I had to decide if I was hot or not. If I was going to just rely upon being cool or my cool band or my cool youth ministry or not. But and here's the problem, right? If I had just been, if all I had was just a bald white guy in middle age stepping out with a guitar, then you know what? Maybe, just maybe it would have been okay. But I had something far greater than that. And that's what I want to share about what's hot tonight. In the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of this earth. This was never about religion. This was about relationship. See, people can argue religion, but here's the difference. I met Jesus. I know that he's real. I don't need a book to tell me. I've met him. I've had conversations with him. He's impacted my life. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the world is not interested in flaky Christians. They're not interested in people arguing over religion. The world is interested in real love, real faith, real relationships, real truth, and real answers. And in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it says, Paul writes these words, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation to those that believe. That when you pray for somebody, the power of God can touch their lives. That when you're believing for something, then in an instant, things can be transformed. I remember praying for a guy to become a Christian one time, and he had a little bit of a potty mouth. And, you know, he just couldn't help. He couldn't even string one sentence together without swearing his head off. He was addicted to porn, and he was addicted to cigarettes from 7 years of age. He came into our youth ministry one night, and I believe this was back in the day when we used to just, you know, ham it up a little bit. We began to pray for him, and God just smacked him down, man. He fell down on the ground. He got back up. He never swore again. He was instantly healed of his addictions to pornography and to smoking. in an instant, his whole life was turned around. He went back home to his parents, and his parents took him to hospital thinking he had found a new drug. True story. They had him blood tested. He had done some cones the day before, so they still should be in the system. He also had turned up to youth that night drunk. They did a blood test on him. There was not a trace of anything but blood in his system. He was instantly healed by God. His whole life was turned around. That whole family came to God because of that boy's encounter with Jesus Christ. That's hot. That's hot. You know, we need that kind of mentality if we're going to make a difference for Jesus Christ. And I know, it can be scary being a Christian sometimes. Oh, you're one of those. Like it's a disease. You know, and yet we need to flip it on its head. What, you're not? What's up with you, man? You okay? I can pray for you. Let me hook you up. We don't want to pull people off. We don't want to be made fun of. But the reality is when we know the power of God that resides on the inside of us, when we know that greater is He that's within us than he that's in this world, then we can stand up and do what God has called us to do and make a difference for Jesus. When you can encounter God, when you can go after Him with your heart, with all of your heart, then you'll find something amazing. And I just want to call the band up at this time. I want to finish. I want to tell you a story of a guy called Jono. And Jono came from a really crazy gangster family. Like his dad was into dealing drugs and stuff like that. And I was a youth pastor at the time. And my older brother, who was 2 years older than me, was in my youth group as well. And he was kind of doing my music thing. And we did this trip down to the Gold Coast. And so we were down in Logan City, right? So in Kingston and Woodridge. I don't know if you've been down there. Don't. And freak you out. Anyway, somebody invited Jono. You know, a friend of a friend invited Jono. And Jono came along. And Jono looked like he wanted to kill you. I mean, he looked like a mean version of Stu. You know, Stu on a bad day. Stu on Monday morning before a coffee. That's what he looked like. And Jono was only a young boy, but he already had tattoos. Jono was already a dealer in his own right. Jono, questionably, had maybe even taken somebody's life or been instrumental in it. And now Jono's coming on my youth group trip. Yay. And Jono had this look on his face that said, if you talk to me, I will kill you. I will cut your head off. And I will drink blood out of your skull. And I just thought, you know what? Jono needs space. I'm just going to let Jono have some space today. So we go down the Gold Coast in the morning. We spent the entire day down the Gold Coast. I never talked to Jono once. I'm like, oh, gotta go over here. My brother comes to me towards the end of the day. And he goes, have you talked to Jono yet? And told him about God and seen if he could become a Christian? Because he sure isn't. Look at him. Look at me. And I said, no, I really felt the Spirit of God tell me just leave him, have some space. And he goes, that's not God, man. He goes, I'm thinking God's telling me to go talk to him. And I said, sure, because I hated my brother. I wanted to see my brother die. This was going to be the great thing. We didn't have iPhones back then, but I called him and a couple of friends. Come, watch my bro. He's going to die. It's going to be awesome. Ready? What's going to happen? And he wanders up to Jono, and he begins to share with Jono. And I'm like, any minute now, I can't see the fist, but it's probably so quick, it's going to happen for it. And then we just see Bob crumble to the ground and go, I've got your room. And anyway, Jono became a Christian. Wow. My dopey brother, I was so upset for that for months. Damn it, I'm supposed to be the youth pastor, and my dopey brother wins the tough guy to the Lord because he was hot and I was not. So position doesn't make you hot. So Jono began to share with us on the way home. It was an hour and a half trip to get him home. We're dropping off all these kids. He was probably the furthest away. We drop him home, prayed for him, and the Holy Spirit came upon his life, and he was touched by God. I know people say that, the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was touched by God. What the frick does that mean? It means that he was sitting there, and he literally could feel tingling all over his body. And he goes, what is happening to me? And I go, that's God, just go with it. And Jono, this tough guy from the streets, began to cry. And it's like he cried out 16 years of his life. Just let it wash over his body in that car trip. In that moment, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, boldness in his life. He got out of that car that night, and I'll never forget, he goes, "You've changed my life." And at that time, I had the boldness to say, "No, John, you met Jesus." I drove home, and as I drove in, I walked up into my house, the phone began to ring. And I was like, who's calling me at like 11:30, quarter to 12 at night? There's another friend of ours called David, and he goes, "Rick, I've been trying to get hold of you for the last hour." He goes, "Have you heard?" And I heard what? He said, "Jono's dead." He said he got home and he went down to see his parents, and his parents freaked out because he said he didn't even say a word because David was with him. He didn't even say a word, but they knew something had changed in his world. And they lost the plot because they had been on drugs and they were chasing him. And he ran across Kingston Road and he was taken out by a car. And I remember in that moment just thinking about this whole thing and going, man, I didn't get to do it, but my brother introduced him to Jesus at about 6 o'clock that night. And at about 10:30, Jono stood before him. And I remember thinking so many times since that day, like that verse that I read at the start. What if I hadn't said anything? What if in that moment I wasn't bold enough? What if we didn't share about Jesus and Jono missed it? There's a price to being bold, sure, but the rewards far outweigh the price. And the difference is when you allow the power of the Holy Spirit to come on your lives. In this place, I want us to stand our feet right now. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Tonight in this building, in this room, maybe right by you, maybe even you, there are some people who are hot and there's some people who are not. There's some who are trying so hard to be cool, but the truth is you're just a fool. Trying so hard to fit in when God's called you to stand out. Trying so hard to keep it together and to pretend that you're all that, but you're actually really just insecure. Trying so hard to be tough, but really you're just scared. Trying so hard when he already did the work for you. Tonight you have an opportunity in this place to be hot or not. And it's not just a matter of going, yeah, come on Jesus, I'll have you and you can be my Lord. I think it's much more than that. I believe it's like the verse that I said, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, that's when the power comes. When the presence of God comes on your life, that's when the power comes. When you stand face to face then with whatever the devil throws at you, and you look at that giant, you go, man, he is too big to hit. No, he's too big to miss. That no matter what comes your way, you know that you're not alone, that God is with you. In that place, in that moment, you realize that there's something greater on the inside of you. In this place tonight, you have an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've had religion. Maybe you've heard a little bit about God. I don't know a great deal about religion, except that I hate it. Religion will tell you all the things that you're not allowed to do and how you've got to do this to be able to get that. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about not what you have to do, but what he's done. The Bible says that God loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus to this world to die for you, to make the difference in your life. To make up whatever that difference is. That if you're like me, you grew up in a single parent family. To make up that difference to be your dad if you didn't have a dad. To be your mom if you didn't have a mom. To be your brother if you needed a big brother, a support. Somebody to help you because you thought you're dumb. but it's going to help you be smarter. It's going to help you figure some things out. Maybe you thought that you were alone, but he said he's your friend. He's here with you now. Maybe you wanted to stand up for God, but you find it so hard. Then tonight I've got great news for you. Right here in this place, we're going to pray for you, for the Holy Spirit to come upon your life. And maybe again, you prayed that before, but tonight something is going to shift off your world. And as we pray for you, the Holy Spirit is going to come into your life. So right now, God has been speaking to you in this place, right here in this place, and God's touching at your heart. And I believe it right now. God is challenging some people. Are you hot or not? Are you hot or not? Are you hot or not? If you want to receive Jesus Christ into your life, if you want to get hot tonight, I want you to just make your way down the front. If you want baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, I want you to make your way down the front. If you want the power of God in your life, then I want you to come down the front. Come on, give it up for those people who are starting to come down. So cool. Maybe you're standing next to somebody. Ask them, hey, do you want me to come down the front with you? I don't want you to miss out on this. Are you hot or not? It's time to get hot for God. Come on, we need a bunch of young people who's not afraid of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need people who prepare to meet Jesus. I don't even believe in Jesus. Well, don't be so tough. Get on down here and I'll introduce you to him then. I'll tell you who he is. I'll show you what he's like. Are you hot or you're not? Are you going to do that walk? I don't want to go down the front. Well, what are you, too chicken to come down the front? Too afraid to stand up for Jesus? Man, I had so many people pay me out of me. Well, if you're a Christian, you're weak. Are you kidding me? I'm stronger than all of you put together because I'm prepared to stand up for my faith and die for what I believe in. Are you hot or you're not? Are you hot or you're not? Come on, let's just begin to pray in this place. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, Lord, we're looking for a God. We want to be hot for you, Jesus. We want to be hot for you, God. We want to be hot for you, Jesus. Right now, right now. Everybody in this place, I want you to lift your hands up to God. In this place, right at the front. Ready, 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 ready. Here we go. Look, God, you see our hands lifted up and our hearts opening up. We want to be hot for you, God. And so right now, we're here not to impress anybody, but we're not standing out, but we're standing for what we believe in. We're not trying to be cool. We're trying to be hot for you, God. We want your power. We want your anointing. We want your Holy Spirit in our life. We want to know that when we walk into it, that something's real has happened in and around our world. So right now, God, we receive that in the name of Jesus. For those, Lord, who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, then, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray over them for their lives to be transformed by being born again, by accepting you as their Lord. And it's as simple as just simply going, Jesus, come be my Lord. Jesus, come take my life. Jesus, come be part of my world right now. I receive you. I receive you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's shout out this night. Let's shout it out tonight. Let's give up for Jesus. Awesome. Okay, listen. We're not done with you. Because this is not the thing. It's not just a good talk. And you go, yeah. No, we want to help you with this thing. So up the back, we've got Jesse. Jesse's going to shake his hand in the air, wave it like you don't care. I would love you if you came up the front to be prayed for the Holy Spirit or prayed for salvation. You want to get hot for God, I want you to follow Jesse right now up the center aisle. Give it up for those guys as they go. Get some leaders go with you. So good. Awesome, guys. God bless you.